This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Undang-undang berkaitan jerebu rentas sempadan yang sedang dirangka bakal membolehkan kerajaan mengambil tindakan tegas terhadap sesiapa sahaja yang menyebabkan jerebu termasuk syarikat luar.
Malaysian schools have been ordered to close as a worsening haze from Indonesian forest fires blankets the capital and neighbouring Singapore.
Indonesia is now under massive pressure. Its firefighters face an almost impossible challenge.
It's been weeks of choking smog with the acrid smell of burning in the air, a situation many Malaysians have generally come to accept as an inevitable annual occurrence. So much so that the haze is now remembered according to the severity of the situation, like in 1997, 2005 and 2013. This begs the question, is the Malaysian government doing enough to mitigate the effects of the haze? Natural Resources and Environment Minister Datuk Dr. Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jaafar has admitted they have been reaching out to Indonesia to deal with the forest fires there via an MOU between the two neighbours. The agreement, however, is still in limbo, with Jakarta postponing a planned meeting, ironically due to the haze itself.
I cannot determine on behalf of Indonesia. Most probably we illustrate how we do ours besides. I'm not too sure also what kind of law do they have in the country and what kind of enforcement they have. And one of the few things perhaps, there must be also free, you know, warning system to give us more time to know what is going to happen next. And they must also have the warning system with respect to fire and respect to haze, and to know what the wind direction, the nature of weather condition at that time, and when can they do all these kind of cloud seeding and things like that. Those are the few things that we can discuss.
Wan Junaidi, however, admits that the talks do not come without its own challenges, hinting that bilateral relations mean Putrajaya has to tread lightly when it comes to these talks. He is, however, positive on a joint resolution.
I'm sure the Indonesian will respond because the both parties have already agreed in the meeting in July. And it's a matter that the minister, I was informed, of environment in Indonesia is still very busy with the critical and serious fire and smoke condition in the country, in Kalimantan as well as in Sumatra. And I can understand why I had to wait for her until she's free to handle those problems. But another question, what kind of law they have, what kind of law they have should enact it, and what kind of enforcement they must do. We can't tell other countries to do that. We must respect their sovereignty. We must respect their feelings.
In the meantime, is there anything else that can be done?
You know, our neighbor, just nearby. So whenever the fire occurs in Sumatra and also in Kalimantan, it affects Malaysia. Unless we can pull Malaysia out of this part of the world and throw it somewhere, put in the center of Pacific, perhaps we don't get the haze.
This is the sad reality of the haze situation, with the affected countries unable to do much beyond mitigating the effects on home soil. Global Environment Centre Director Faisal Parish admits Malaysia's hands are pretty much tied.
Well, pray for rain. May some people say just as effective as cloud seeding, but really nothing much can be done. Really, what needs to be done is address the problem, the root source. Now, although of the haze is coming from Indonesia, there is still locally produced haze. Although now with the thick haze, we cannot see these local fires so easily, but still people are open burning and clearing land and so on in Malaysia. And although the level is not so high because it's not such a severe dry season, at least in this part of the peninsula, but there are still a significant number of cases of at least small-scale open burning contributing to that. Of course, the contribution also from industry and transport and so on. So extra vigilance on behalf of the public and the government agencies to minimize the locally produced haze would do something, but the most important is to stop the fires in Indonesia.
Now, despite school closures, a ban on outdoor activities, open burning and the threat of an environmental agency, most of the public are attempting to go about life as usual. Faisal says this is what the government needs to address through better public awareness.
there needs to be better information, better warning, better provision, making available of masks and protective equipment, and giving proper guidance to people on what masks to use. Very often we see people are using and the shops are selling surgical masks. These masks are designed to exclude the bacteria and not PM 2.5 or PM 10. It's just the wrong type of mask and is not effective, but gives people a false sense of security that they carry on working.
The main question now is regarding how Malaysia tracks air pollution. The public has for years questioned why the 24-hour average API readings don't tally with visibility. Faisal admits the government is right in saying these two methods to measure air quality don't generally correspond with each other. It is, however, necessary for the country to adopt the three-hour PSI system that Singapore uses, which merely requires a software upgrade here.
Basically, it will give you different things. So the current system in Malaysia will even out any peaks and also troughs. It will become a more average. That means when there is a rapid increase in the density of smoke, that system will increase slowly rather than rapidly. If you're doing it more frequently, let's say on an hourly basis, then the reading could be fluctuating up and down quite rapidly, which actually reflects local situation, but because there are peaks and troughs, then it may not convey the average situation, average amount of particles being faced. So there's pros and cons either way. Ideally, the government would make both information available. Of course, there's no need for any more readings. It's just a question of the software. So both can be done with the same information, no extra cost.
The new PSI system, as many Malaysians now know, also track a sixth air pollution particle measuring 2.5 microns in diameter. These PM 2.5 particles are basically what Malaysians need to worry about the most when it comes to the haze we've been breathing in.
So that means extremely small, and those can pass easily from the lungs into the bloodstream and I believe can even cross the blood-brain barrier. So basically they can enter our body and travel through our body, and therefore they are much more able to have a negative impact on our health. The PM10 particles are more easy to filter out and less easy enter through the lungs into the body system. Basically, PM10 dust is more frequent from industrial processes, construction processes, mining, and so on, whereas the haze tends to be more in the range of 2.5 or between 2.5 and 10. And that basically means that for Malaysia, we're relying on PM10 measurements. We're very significantly underestimating or not recording at all the much smaller particles. I mean, basically it's a serious gap in the system in Malaysia.
With the latest revelation that Malaysia's air quality monitoring system is outdated or inadequate, there's obviously a lot of criticism against the government's handling of the haze crisis, which, to be fair, stretches back more than two decades. Faisal also questioned the government's slow response over many years, which has put some 30 million people at risk nationwide.
The comment that it will cost a massive 6 million to upgrade the system and will take 2 years, that is quite amazing. When we're dealing with public health disaster, which is costing us billions, we seem to be short of 6 million to upgrade the monitoring equipment. And I don't believe in this day and age it's going to take 2 years to upgrade monitoring equipment. So I'm very surprised when the government say it will take so long, particularly when it was already announced 2 years ago that it would be implemented by 2016. Only 3 months from 2016, so obviously someone forgot about it.
That was Global Environment Centre Director Faisal Parish. And earlier we spoke to Natural Resources and Environment Minister Datuk Dr. Wan Junaidi Tuanku Jaafar. I'm Nadia Aziz, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.